Hello, welcome. Hey guys, what's going on? My name is Stephanie. This is Side B Radio, the podcast, and today is a great day. I'm recording on Saturday night, the 7th, and I'm sure as most people would know, and if you don't know, then wow, I kind of wish I was living under the rock that you're living under, but the presidential election race was called this morning, and it appears that Joe Biden won, so that's wonderful news. And not that I want to get super political, but I just feel like our entire nation has breathed a sigh of relief. Although I guess about 70 million people did not, but whatever. 75 million did, and however many didn't vote, I guess. But I don't know. I think it's a good thing. I'm hoping it's a good thing. I can't wait for changes to occur. And even like tonight, Joe Biden's speech was just, that's how a president should sound, and we haven't had that in a long time. So anyway, this week on Side B Radio, I spoke with Stephanie and Paul of West Side Waltz, and we had a lovely conversation, got to know more about the band. Their music is available on Spotify and anywhere else that you can download and listen to music, as well as they have a physical album available. I'll let them tell you about it during the interview. They are cool people. The album's really cool. I've been listening to the album like in anticipation of interviewing them, and then obviously just because I enjoy it now. So the next time I do a music episode, I will be sure to include a track or two, maybe. That might be next week. I'm not sure yet. It's funny. I was like so hesitant to get back into doing this, and then it was like, oh, this is old hat. So last week's episode with Amanda, this week I have West Side Waltz. Next week, like I said, is probably going to be music, but like there's people who I need to coordinate with. I have another interview that's already recorded that I need to share with you guys soon. So I don't know. I'm happy about it. I'm excited about it. And I think that this was a fun interview, a fun conversation, and I thank them for taking the time. They were actually down in Texas doing a remote, well, a live gig, I guess, and they still made time to have a little Zoom conversation with me. So I met Stephanie a couple years ago. She was working in the village when I was hanging out down there, and that's how I got to know who they are. So anyway, here's the interview I did with them, and I will talk to you guys in a little while. All right, so tell me about West Side Waltz.
West Side, never heard of it. Yeah, so West Side Waltz, you know, started basically, the seed of the idea began when we were working together on a cruise ship. We were hired as sort of main stage song and dance entertainers, which is, you know, a world that we come from, although we had both kind of drifted away from a bit. I was working more in independent rock music at the time, and Steph had, you know, she's always been more focused on the acting end of things. But you know, the ship was a nice convergence, and we both got hired, and we were sort of functioning as the lead singers, and the cruise director, who was this over the top British character named John Barron. Do you play guitar? Do either of you have your own little numbers that you can do? And we were like, well, you know, I played the guitar, and we sort of just said, why don't we just do like an acoustic duo thing? You know, just kind of for something fun to do to fill the days between the main stage shows. And it ended up being really, you know, well received. And also, you know, I can't speak for Stephanie, but I found it enjoyable.
It started as like a lounge act on a cruise ship, just the two of us and Paul's guitar and me playing some ridiculous hand percussion,
quality shaker work.
and we did it for fun mostly. And then people's response was really strong right away. So people kept asking like, where do we get this music? Where can we follow you? Where do you guys play? And so we were like, well, shit. So we started collecting email addresses, and by the time we finished the contract, we were on the ship 8.5 months. We had hundreds of emails and people saying they wanted to follow us and keep in touch and blah blah blah. So when we finished the contract, came back to New York, we said, shit, let's see where we go. And we had written a bunch of, Paul had original music from a project from before, and I had a one single song before I met Paul, and then together we kind of just developed a lot
which,
of the music.
Shameless plug for the record, the song, which is on the album, is Bad Baby, which the first time I heard it, heard just, you know, doing it, I gave what I think is the highest compliment one musician and songwriter can give to another, which is to say, oh, fuck you. Like, I never read a song before. I don't really know what I'm doing. And, naturally. You know, we knew we wanted to kind of, you know, I'm a, at best, kind of utility acoustic guitar player, you know, like I can entertain a bar crowd, but we were like, you know, if we're going to really do this thing, we want to see if we can get kind of up our instrumental firepower. So we recruited a bunch of guys, you know, guys that we knew from the music scene and people that we knew through wedding bands and rock bands and various things. We kind of put together a pretty rock star lineup, all of whom are featured on the album in various capacities.
Well, we started with different, we started with a different drummer. We started with a different bassist. We started with a different guitarist.
Yeah, no, we definitely, we had some people in and out, but I'm quite pleased with the lineup we ended up settling on. With shameless plug here for Billy Smolin on the bass, Ricky Pistone, who is a damn legend on the electric guitar, which we'll geek out about at length when we talk about the studio, and Nick Impiombato, who in addition to having a name that sounds like drums,
plays them.
And we also brought in Jens Kramer on the fiddle and Richie Townsend on the harmonica for the album, just to add a little bit of flavor.
Yeah, those were our two guests for the album. And I can, yeah, email you all this too if you
want. It will be in, we will be open.
Well, so your bio about your band says that you guys met trying to hook up at a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was offered up as meat.
Okay. Yeah. Tell this because you tell it terrible.
Oh, I tell it accurate. And she doesn't like when I tell it accurate. She wants to put a bow on
the
it.
The short story is Paul and I were introduced by my bestie at a wedding in New York in April of 2015?
Yes.
I don't know. We've been doing 4 or 5 years now. It's hard to remember. But yeah, we met at this wedding and we were set up as a trashy hookup. And kind of from the first moment, it was like, oh shit. So yeah, we got stuck. We failed at our trashy hookup and ended up falling in love and then realizing really fast that we both made music. We fell in love, I think, before we even realized we were each musician.
I was in love in about 10 minutes. And she was too, but she was in denial about it for a solid week or so.
True, that's just...
yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was one of those things where it, kind of by the, I think, in a very old-fashioned way that you don't really get to experience a lot in the age of kind of trying to match romance by the algorithms, which, you know, we've both kind of been through that hustle. It was just, you know, the good old-fashioned, you know, two people who were at the right point in their lives at the right time, with absolutely no plans to do anything of the sort.
Yeah.
Just kind of realizing, oh, no, I'd be very stupid if I didn't, you know, go all in on this one. So... yeah, and then it helps that we, you know, sang and stuff too. That was a,
well, I mean, that's, I like the way that you guys have it worded on your bio, which anyone who's listening should just go read it. But how you said that you met at a wedding, discovered all of these mutual things, you make all this wonderful music together, and now you're planning your own wedding.
We are, or, you know,
congratulations.
To the extent it's possible.
We were, and then, you know, pandemic kind of changed the plans a little bit. So we're trying to pivot and figure out, you know, what it is in the world as working musicians now. And we're actually coming to you from Texas. We're on a flyaway gig in Texas right now. So we're set up here at the convention center for four nights, 5 days, and we're playing a gig. So we're very grateful to be working and...
at the Gaylord Texan.
Yep. And so we're working this week and but you know, everything's very up in the air. So in terms of the wedding, we're still figuring out what we're going to do about that. But yeah, our music is definitely like a reflection on our experience individually and also as a couple, and obviously like reflects a lot of what we go through as good music does, I guess. But yeah, so I feel like the album kind of has a cool quality of, someone described it as like a sampler because it's so diverse in types of, in terms of style. Mm-hmm. Like yeah, there's a song that's straight blues followed by a song that's pretty heavy rock followed by like a really soft kind of singer-songwritery harmony driven kind of acoustic jam. And
I was actually going to mention that to you because your site
And like even on like Spotify, like it says like folk rock musicians. But then when I was listening, I was like, no. Like, I was like mentally taking notes. I was like, okay, I hear a lot of blues here.
Yeah,
okay, this one's like a heavy rock song. And so how are you guys just kind of going with what you feel and not necessarily trying to like put yourself in one category?
Well, it's a great question.
Yeah, and it's kind of, you know, it's the frustration of the modern music landscape in many ways, is that, you know, versatility can kind of work against you. I think, you know, we chose folk rock because I do think that's kind of, if there's a unifying blanket umbrella for what we do, it's that. It's still, you know, the core of our sound is acoustically driven and it comes from the intersection of voices, but it is very blues heavy. And at least occasionally very, you know, very rock heavy as well. You don't bring this guy in and not have a little bit of that. And I think, you know, on the one hand, you know, if we do a second album, we'll probably try to get it a little more neatly into a stylistic mold. But I think this one, we just kind of wanted it to be true to who we are and what we're about. And I think to the extent that there's a unifying theme of this album, the theme is kind of finding unity in conflict. And you know, the fact that there are these, you know, a lot of these music traditions, you know, I think talking about blues and rock is a case in point, which, you know, you think of in the context of the Spotify algorithms as being wildly disparate, but it's like, you know, the one gives birth to the other. And, you know, there's a lot of just in terms of the music theory and in terms of the technical elements.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we sort of try to, you know, a lot of our music truly lives in the gaps and, you know, there's a lot of kind of rockabilly moments in a couple of the numbers. But yeah, one or two, we decided, well, you know what? We got a woman who is steeped in the blues. We're going to do some straight up blues tunes. We got a guy who does rock power skrelting for a living. We're going to have at least one good rock power skrelt number in there. Yeah. And then, you know, I think it's nice to kind of have the freedom to play around like that a little bit. And
if you're going to produce your own music, I feel like we felt strongly that you should do what lights you up. Do you know what I mean? We spend a lot of time in commercial music and, you know, getting hired for a variety of things, you know, wedding stuff. Like I was just on national tour, Broadway style music, whatever we get hired to do, we do whatever genre that is. But in our own music, I mean, that's half the fun. You get to produce what you want to sing. And the album's very much a celebration of like, what do we love to make? And let's make that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I appreciate independent artists being able to do what they want to do versus what they're being told to do. Because you can also kind of tell when it's inauthentic, mm-hmm. you know, when it's like commercial and corporate or whatever. I was like digging the diversity of the album. I was like, okay. I do want to ask you, Stephanie, you were on tour for A Bronx Tale, correct?
I was, yeah.
Did that end because of COVID?
Yeah, it was cut short 2 months because of COVID. We were in California doing the West Coast leg of the tour by that point, and we were playing the Segerstrom Center in Costa Mesa in LA, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous theater. And we had done, I think, 3 or 4 shows there, and then they called off the next show, and they said, sit tight, and they kept us in California a week trying to wait for, I guess they were waiting for it to blow over or something. And then, of course, obviously, it went the way that it did. And yeah, they cut the tour short. And for a while, they were saying, oh, we'll, you know, once this blows over, we'll all come back and finish the tour. And I mean, obviously, weeks turned into months. And so they finally called it and said, no, we're not going to come back. So we feel heartbroken. I feel heartbroken that we didn't get to finish the tour. It was a really special cast of people. And a really cool story. But you know, you go with what you got. And that's kind of the way the cookie crumbled on that one. So,
and you know, having the album to work on, you know, I think was a kind of a lifeline in a lot of ways. You know, everybody we know who is working in the arts was kind of in the same boat. Yeah. And so in a lot of ways it was something to be grateful for, just that, like, well, you know, all the stuff we were planning to make money off of may have collapsed.
Yeah, but we can still throw our hearts behind this project, and that's really what we did. We'd recorded it back in September before I'd even left on tour, and then when I came back early, we ended up, you know, re-recording a lot of it and kind of changing some things and tweaking and fine tuning. And yeah, it was, he's right. It was really, I agree. Like a total lifesaver to have something creative to throw our energy into. I know so many artists and friends of ours and people around the world are just struggling without their outlets to be creative. And for creative people, that's really rough. So we were grateful.
Yeah, and you guys released this album this past September. So it was originally done a year ago, and then you tweaked it over.
Yes, so we were supposed to release it in May. Yeah, and then because of everything happening the way that it did, you know, we had to push back a little bit, but we did release it in September. And we released all 10 tracks, which was what we intended to do, so we didn't have to cut anything. And we feel proud of the whole 10, I think. I feel really proud of the whole 10. So
yeah, we do. It was definitely, you know, we didn't go into this process with the intention of, you know, we are trying to make a commercial salesy album. You know, the goal here was not to sell a million records. The goal here was to do something that captures where we are, you know, as a couple and as a band. And, you know, just I have a personal thing that I think of, you know, a song is kind of an emotional snapshot of a particular moment, and songs that are, and you know, in this sense, an album is, you know, a photo album of sorts. Of each song is capturing, you know, a different emotional moment, and I think, you know, a lot of the moments captured on this album turned out to be more timely than we even really intended.
Oh yeah,
when we first went into it. But you know, I think a song like One Day at a Time, which is one of the ones we probably did the most overhauling and reworking on, it's the closing song on the album, and you know, listening to it now in the context of, you know, taking this song that was written about, you know, kind of the struggles of being in love and you know, working together through the various headaches and challenges of being in love and finding your way through, you know, also I think applies to just the challenges and conflicts and issues of dealing with a day like today, where, you know, it's like all you can do is decide to make today the best that it can be right now. And so, yeah, it's took a little bit of a ramble there, but.
Were there any challenges working on this during COVID or releasing it during COVID? Because I actually, like, a lot of bands that I follow had plans over the summer or whatever to release albums, and they were pushing back, and I've been paying attention to all that kind of stuff. So curious.
That's a great question. Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we missed out on is getting to do the big album release show, you know, and like playing it live, you know, playing that gig where everyone could come out and kind of celebrate the culmination of it with us, and we could play the songs live in a great venue setting in New York somewhere, a place that we loved and where there was all that vibe and of energy of good music and a history there. So I feel like we missed out on that.
There's a certain challenge too to, like, you know, so much of independent, you know, music production is independent promotion, and it's just hard in this moment, you know, to really, it just feels kind of gross. And I think a lot of people struggle with this, to be like, you know, I know that your grandparents are dying of a horrible disease, but don't forget to share my album page. You know, it's like, yeah. I think it sort of took some element of the wind out of our sails in terms of, you know, as excited as we are to share this with people, and we are. And I think, you know, kind of reframing it as like, look, you know, people need a break from all the horrible things that are going on. And I think music is one of the things that can help provide that. But at the same time, you know, you don't want to feel like you're kind of shoving it down people's throats at a time when people have so much else on their mind.
But on the other hand, I have to say, I do think people were grateful to have something hopeful to listen to. If there's a through line of the album at all, I think it's about, you know, perseverance and hope and kind of chugging through. And like, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I feel like that's kind of our mantra. And in that way, this album came out at exactly the right moment. And we've had a lot of feedback from fans and people that have said, you know, like, you know, thank you for this. This is, I listen to this every day. It's a thing that like makes me cry or makes me not cry, or, you know, and we're, you know, so we feel glad that people are, you know, it's resonating with people.
And what do you guys listen to get through and get inspired? Who are your influences?
Anderson Paak, like all day long.
Yeah, so it may or may not be obvious on some of the tracks that you can see the Paul rock hand in, that I've been a Zeppelin guy for quite some time. And like a lot of the music that I grew up with that I've always loved to sing is like, you know, 70s and, you know, to some extent 80s, just, you know, classic rock and roll, big screaming electric guitars. Like but I also grew up, you know, my dad was an old time and folk musician. So that, like, my first introduction to performing music at all was like performing pub gigs, you know, where my dad, who plays every stringed instrument known to man, doing like Gordon Lightfoot tunes and the Kingston Trio. And
yeah, so, but you don't listen to that every day.
I don't listen to that. You don't listen to Anderson Paak every day. Get out of here. No, we listen to a huge mishmash. We're big on DJ Spotify. We like coming up against new things.
Yeah, we've been listening to some new stuff lately. And yeah, honestly, that's a great question. And I guess the only stuff we're really not, like, I'm not listening to any musical theater at all. That just makes me want to cry right now.
we're both kind of Chris Stapleton obsessed. He's one of our, we've already decided the song we're dancing to at our wedding is Fire Away by Chris Stapleton, which might be the best damn love song ever written. That's, you know, when you always have one of those, you're like, oh man, I wish I'd written that one.
Yeah, we do like him. You can hear the influence of his music in our music.
But it's interesting because, you know, you talk about, I think that, you know, there's the question of influences and the question of what you listen to every day. I think, you know, for me, and I think for to an extent for both of us, when music becomes your livelihood, you know, recreational music listening can sometimes become, like, I do a lot, you know, when I'm sitting with my earbuds in on the train or whatever, 9 times out of 10, I'm listening to like stand-up comedy mixes or something. Like, it just, sometimes I take inspiration from completely different corners of the art world, and yet it can still tap into the part of me that gets excited and wants to make music.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And as far as the groups that are a little more closely related to who we are musically, reference points we use is like the Lone Bellow, which is a group out of Brooklyn that does, you know, they're a little more to the country end, but in terms of that acoustically grounded, harmonically driven, and Delta Ray, which is a group I have loved for many, many years, since seeing them at a little club in South Carolina. And they've, you know, since gone on to be, I think, to date, the most successful Kickstarter story of that's, you know. Well, that's go read up on the Delta Ray Kickstarter.
Well, that's worth mentioning too, actually, that you're talking about Kickstarter, because we funded our album through Kickstarter. That's how we got the money to make the baby. And we feel really grateful to everyone who contributed to make that possible, because it absolutely would not have been possible to do that. Producing independent music is expensive, expensive, expensive. And just as a plug for anybody out there thinking about doing it, you know, hopefully you can get on Kickstarter and pull together some funds, because it's an extraordinarily rewarding process to be able to create your own music. And I've all had albums before from other projects, but this was definitely my first original music production, and it was really something and scary and like a very vulnerabilizing to kind of put yourself on the line like that. You know, it's one thing to perform other people's music, which we do professionally a lot, but to write and perform and put your own music out there and say, this is what I signed my name to, this is mine, you know, that's scary. So yeah, we didn't make it to sell a million copies, but it is available everywhere. So if you want to go
buy it. We still would love to sell a million copies. Please do buy it, millions.
I wanted to ask, because you said you guys have been making music together for the last like 5-ish years. And this is the first album, right?
This is the first album.
So was it mostly covers before, or was it just you guys just didn't have anything put down on like physical?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the truth is we took that cruise ship contract within like six months before we'd even known each other, and we went on the ship together for almost a year. And we came back and we started putting together the band. And our initial, we had by that point already had a ton of original music written, and we kept writing throughout over the course of the next few years. But we wanted to, you know, build our chops and develop our sound before we put it into, you know, into album form and put it out there. And so the first couple of years back in the city was really about like finding the musicians who are really our guys, you know, like developing this. I'm playing gigs everywhere. We played Rockwood a million times. We played the Bitter End. We played, you know, we played the whole circuit,
clubs.
You know, and just like really wanted to get our sound and our vibe locked in before we took that step you know, the last thing I think I wanted was to like kind of slap together an album and then be like 6 months later, be like, no, we don't sound like this. This isn't really us. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, yeah, it took us quite a bit of time, but we wrote a song together, I think maybe within the first month of knowing each other. In fact, it's on the album. It's called The Pretend Boy. My Pretend Boy mm-hmm. was the first song we ever wrote together. And that was kind of the minute we were like, this together is a thing. Okay. This could be a thing. And so it kind of went from there. So yeah, we'd been writing original music from the beginning, but this was the first. And we don't just have these 10. I mean, we have dozens of songs, but these were the first 10 that we felt like we really wanted to lead with. So that's the first baby album. First baby.
So is the plan to keep moving forward with just release more albums? And like, is this the main gig right now? Because I know you have your hand in a lot of things. You were just acting. And so this is where...
This is a great question. I feel like, to be a musician now, to be a performer now in the world is a lot of piecing your income together from whatever, you know, and acting specifically is very much like that. You do a couple of episodes of a TV show, you do a commercial, you do a theater play, you do whatever. Paul plays like wedding gigs with several different wedding bands and does some corporate gigs and does other things. So we kind of put it together, and God willing, the whole music industry will come back with gusto hopefully soon. And yeah, I think the goal is to just, as soon as we can start playing out again, just get back out and keep finally start the tour that we wanted to do with this album and keep, you know, writing West Side Waltz the way we imagined in the first place, you know. Yeah.
It's going to be different for sure. And I think, you know, digital, we definitely have a lot of plans in the works for over the next couple of weeks to start putting out, you know, just some more cover content and just videos to kind of re-engage with people, get, you know, start, you know, I think that the God's honest truth of it is it's just like so many people, we kind of hit burnout with just the climate of social media and, you know, trying to be as proactive as you want to be, you know, in independently driven music is just draining when you're also trying to kind of reconstruct a livelihood that suddenly disappeared. Yeah. And, you know, I think what's been, you know, really rejuvenating about this project is that, you know, it is, you know, we mentioned that it was Kickstarter funded, and there's kind of a sense of it being, there's the stuff that we do for money, which, you know, in many ways when you talk about love and fear, money kind of comes from a fear place. You do stuff for money because you're afraid of not making rent and you're afraid of, you know, not being able to eat. You do stuff for love because you love doing it. And this is one that we did, you know, because we enjoyed doing it. And, you know, what was so great about the Kickstarter is it really gave us a sense that if nobody else listens to it, there's people who are willing to put their money down and say, we want to hear this and yeah. we want to hear it so much that we're willing to invest in it and we're investing in you. And, you know, that is hugely uplifting. And that's kind of the motivating force that I think inspires us to be like, yeah, we do want to keep this going. And I think, you know, that's going to take, I think all of us who work in music are now struggling with that same question of like, so now what? And I think until such time as live performance, you know, returns to normalcy and we can start, which believe you me, if and when it does, we're going to be having some blowout shows. You're all invited. It's going to be crazy and socially distanced and responsible, right. But still crazy.
I was
not so crazy as to take, who the hell knows? But yeah, we're just going to be continuing to put out content and, you know, hopefully put out some videos for some of the songs on the album, you know, if and when we can start to get back to some in-person production elements.
Yeah, we've got some exciting stuff planned for music videos. That's going to be the next big thing for us too. So we're not spilling any secrets, but we get some things in the works for that.
That sounds cool. Do you guys have any like favorite gigs that you did back in the day? Does anything stick out?
Oh man.
Well, we sort of came to think of the Bitter End as our home club.
Yeah, really.
You know, which is it's an iconic venue. A lot of big names have sort of come up through there, and to me, you know, it really feels like that old. And you know, it's not to say that, you know, oh, you played the Bitter End, you've made it. But it's you know, you've stood in the same spot as a lot of others did, and you can see everybody on that stage from, you know, some people who are having a good time with their friends and may or may not have ever trained on the instrument in their lives, to some people who are like, how are you not rich? Like, how can I afford to see you right now?
Yeah.
And, you know, and our fan base has always been, you know, it sort of expanded from groups of friends and just people we knew. But, you know, the people who come to our shows come and they come repeatedly because they love our music. And because it's sort of, you know, we've cultivated a community of people who really like to have a good time.
Yeah.
So I think any time we've done shows at the Bitter End, it's been a situation where, you know, it sort of is equal parts a show and a party with some of the people we love the most. And that's, you know, that sweet spot is some of the most joyful experiences you can have in music.
And we're looking forward to having some more of those for sure.
There've been a lot of those nights where we'll play one of those village clubs, and then afterward we'll sort of march en masse with like a 20 or 30 person crew to wherever the next after party.
After parties,
And it, you know, oh, I miss that so much.
Some of those type of evenings will end at like 7 a.m. at our place with the last remaining six people eating fresh baked cookies and watching the sunrise over Manhattan.
That's true.
That's the kind of thing you miss from the pre-COVID days.
Yeah, no, I was, as you were talking about this, actually, I'm thinking about times that I've been part of that entourage for other bands starting out at the Bitter End and going on. Like, that's what the Bitter End is known for.
Oh, yeah, it's really, it's special.
And because it's so centrally located to so many different things, like, that's exactly, it's very easy to be like, all right, we're going here, everybody, this way.
Yeah.
Just one lovely one. Yep.
Exactly.
How'd you guys come up with the name?
Of the band or of the album?
Both.
Okay.
How did we come up with the name?
Well, we were very seriously, okay, real talk, it wasn't our first choice, remember?
Well, we had thought of, because we thought of The Last Waltz was our first
instinct. Or The Last Dance, yeah.
Or The Last Dance. And both, like, actually The Last Waltz is like a metal band.
Yeah, a heavy metal band out of like Milwaukee, I think.
And I was like, okay, dope.
And then The Last Dance is something else and something else.
But we liked the idea of something to do with dancing because, you know, it was our partnership. And we also dance, like, just for fun and for the love of it.
Yeah. And then we live on the West Side. We've been 10 years in our apartment in Hell's Kitchen, and we love the West Side. And that feels very much a part of who we are and our sound. And
it wasn't until after we'd, like, nailed down and agreed on the name that we discovered it's also a movie from the 90s, which we still have not watched. But I'm sure it's great, and I hope nobody's mad about
it. I actually think it might be a play. So maybe that turned into a movie? Because when I Googled you, a bunch of stuff came up that wasn't you.
Well, ignore all that other stuff. Yeah, we're the only West Side Waltz about
it. Well, but then I was like, huh, does it have theater? Because I know that you're a theater person. Yeah. So.
And we do nod to, we had a logo a while back that we're not using anymore, but that did nod to West Side Story, and it had the fire escape.
Right.
Our building has that old-timey fire escape in it. So yeah, you know, we are a byproduct of all of our environments.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much a reflection of that.
So, and then the album name, you said, well, you were talking about fear and money, so.
And that, you know. Love and Fear to us, you know, was the title track. It was one of the tracks that we knew we were going to lead with in every live show. That's kind of the one that people were like, that song, I love that song. And we love that song. That's one that I had actually written prior to ever meeting Steph and had kind of been kicking around in various permutations. And, you know, I felt like it really kind of coalesced perfectly when we did it together. And the pairing of our voices on it, I think it really worked out nicely, and I think it worked out rather nicely for the album. But I think that spirit of, you know, in our musical collaboration as in our romantic partnership, it's I'm bringing you all the best stuff and all the worst stuff, and, you know, it's take it all or take none of it. That's
that's it.
Are there physical copies of the album?
Yes, there are. It's on CD, so you can purchase it. You can do that via our website, or, you know, just send me a message and we'll. We're still very grassroots, but yeah, it's also available digitally, of course, on all the platforms. And there's some other West Side Waltz swag if you want to hold something in your hands, and T-shirts and whatnot. But
swag.
Yeah,
we're real big on swag.
You seem like you would be big on swag.
Oh yeah.
very swaggy.
You know, really, that whole earlier conversation about, like, what genre are you guys? I mean, just swag.
That's our genre.
That is, you guys need to change all the, update all the bias.
We're just a swag band.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody does, but they're about to.
Yeah.
I feel like when you guys finally do a show, that's how you should announce it, like presenting swag night or something.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love it.
And people are going to think we're going to give them stuff, but we're not. We're just going to really be swinging our dicks around.
Maybe encourage people to bring you stuff. Like, you want swag.
Yeah, it's like, no, guys, come on, bring us your swag.
This is a genius
like individual idea. Branded merchandise from Dave.
Love it. We should do that.
It could you never know what you like, what people will come up with to bring. Like, you can make it a whole contest. Like, show us your swag.
Funnily enough,
like,
when we did one of our first release shows, which was, I believe it was for the
when we hit our Kickstarter,
we did a little celebration show, and it was actually at Prohibition. We did a show to celebrate our Kickstarter success, and we had a bunch of our donors and our people together, and they managed to get Elijah Craig to sponsor the event. So that was definitely the swag highlight.
Yeah, they gave us glasses and all.
And that nothing could be more on brand for West Side Waltz than
a whiskey,
you know,
brand
brought to you by Elijah Craig bourbon.
Yeah, that was very much our favorite day.
There's a lot of bourbon soaked into the soul of this album.
There you go.
Seems very appropriate. It's awesome. Yeah.
Genre bourbon.
Oh man, we're getting bourbon. Now I just want bourbon. Now.
Right?
It's like,
no. You don't have to wrap this up. It is almost.
I mean, you're in Texas. I'm pretty sure you'll find some.
Yeah.
Bourbon. Oh yeah, we can. Yeah.
Snap your finger. I think it'll like come.
Yeah. It'll just appear.
Maybe.
Yeah, if you just shout out the window, let me get a drink.
Yes, there you go. Well, I'm gonna wrap this up because my podcast is not 5 hours long. But this has been a really fun conversation. Please let people know where they can find you and how to reach out or whatever.
Here's how you can find us.
You can follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at West Side Waltz. We're on Facebook as West Side Waltz. We're on Twitter as West Side Waltz NYC.
We're working on it. We're going to beat up whoever got West Side Waltz on Twitter.
Oh, believe me. I have three podcasts, and one of them is a Disney podcast, and it's called Radio Mickey. And someone has that Twitter handle, so we have everything else, but it's Radio Mickey X on Twitter, and I hate it so much.
Oh, we share the struggle. Also, we have a website, westsidewaltz.com, if you're old school like that.
Yeah.
You know, back when people just had websites.
And then the music is on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Play.
All of it. Just if you can find a platform that it's not on,
let us
send
know.
Us a message and we'll send you a cookie. Oh no, we will send you a literal cookie.
What's wrong with you? We're gonna have to send cookies to people.
They're not gonna find them. Well, I mean, they're gonna make up platforms.
Yeah, there will That's be no thing. Cookies.
Don't be a smartass. No cookies will be given to smartass.
As a person who ships all of the swag, I will not be dealing with the cookies.
Oh, but you can make those like ones with the icing, and you could like write your like album cover.
Listen,
and stuff
you're
on.
Encouraging him.
Yeah.
You think he's gonna do any of that work? It's gonna be me. The two of you.
She's right.
I'm just giving you ideas for the future shows. You should have those cookies with the little like the frosting.
We're renegotiating on the cookie thing, but definitely check out all the great platforms.
Yes, please.
And enjoy the music.
And then again, if they want physical copies. Is it on your website or?
They can reach out to us on Instagram or on Facebook, or they can order them through the website, whichever is preferable.
I'm going to let you guys go.
Thank you so much, Steph. This was such fun.
I'm glad that you guys had fun.
Thank you so much for having me.
Take care, and I'll talk to you.
Okay. Alrighty. Thanks so much, hon.
Bye.
Wow.
All right, I want to thank Paul and Stephanie again for taking the time to chat with me and being guests on Side B Radio, the podcast. It means a lot. And I hope you guys enjoyed them. If you do not already, please go follow them and check out their stuff all over the internet, just like Stephanie was telling you where to find them. And go do that. If you want to find me, in case you haven't yet, Twitter and Facebook is at Side B Radio. Instagram is at Side B Podcast. You can find the podcast on all of the major platforms. It's through Anchor, but it's on Apple Podcasts, Google, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartMedia, etc., etc. So please feel free to go do that. And if you are an Apple user, if you could leave me a rating and a review, that would be really cool of you. I would appreciate it. 5 stars, of course, but I guess you could be honest if you don't think it's a 5-star worthy show. And of course, any little note you want to leave me, I would love to read it. You can also leave me a voicemail on my Anchor page at Side B Radio on Anchor. If you have any suggestions or requests or thoughts or whatever you want to do, that would be cool to hear from you. And I will talk to you guys next week. Please enjoy your week. Be safe. Don't do anything stupid. Take care.